Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk, The Connection, a platform where we discuss issues affecting young people. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Tabaka Ncube. Today on Live Talk, we are discussing the proposed 2025 budget allocation to the youth ministry. We'll delve into the contrasting views of Zimbabwe's youth on the budget proposals. But first, electric vehicle manufacturers are hoping for continued growth under President-elect Donald Trump, especially as Tesla CEO Elon Musk now appears to be one of his top advisors. Jenia Dulot has our story from the Los Angeles Auto Show.
Earlier in his presidential campaign, Donald Trump bashed Joe Biden for backing electric vehicles.
Think of this. He wants electric vehicle mandates that will spell the death of the U.S. auto industry.
In his campaign's closing month, Trump got a big boost from electric vehicle CEO Elon Musk.
He created the first major American car company in generations, and his rocket company is the only reason we can now send American astronauts into space. Take over, Elon, yes, take over.
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA, I'm Dark MAGA.
Since Trump's win, Musk has agreed to join his new government to help improve efficiency. Musk has also seen share prices for his electrical vehicle firm Tesla jump more than 25% since Election Day, topping $1 trillion in market value for the first time in 2 years. So what are electric vehicle manufacturers expecting from a Trump team that includes the Tesla chief? At the LA Auto Show, Shiv Sikand is showing off the quad motor, all-electric Draker supercar.
It's super exciting to think that, you know, Elon is there and, you know, the president is, you know, taking it very seriously, and I think will be very powerful for American industry, not just electric cars, you know, right across the spectrum. Our goal is to be more competitive, particularly, you know, in the threat of foreign competition.
With Trump promising import tariffs, electric vehicles built in the United States may be more competitive. South Korean automaker Hyundai will build its IONIQ 9 electric truck in the U.S. state of Georgia, says company spokesman Miles Johnson.
An IONIQ 9 will be built there. There are two battery joint venture plants going into Georgia as well. So the batteries will be sourced in the U.S. market and the vehicles will be produced in the U.S. market. So we're committed to the U.S. market.
Electric vehicle manufacturers are also mindful that Trump may end the $7,500 federal tax credit for EV buyers. John Thomas of Ampere Charging Systems says it is part of the market's evolution.
Hopefully you're not incentivizing something forever. Right at the end of the day. Hopefully the incentive is to what kicks off an industry, and then you slowly pull that back. And I think that's been things we've seen in Europe.
The vehicle guide Kelly Blue Book says a record 1.2 million electric vehicles were sold in the United States last year, accounting for more than 7% of the total U.S. vehicle market. Jenia Dulo, VOA News, Los Angeles.
In Zambia, an education and prevention program known as the Total Control of the Epidemic Project is focused on ending AIDS as a public health threat by 2030. Kathy Short reports from Petauke in Zambia.
Losi Zulu has been living with HIV/AIDS for 5 years, one of an estimated 1.3 million Zambians living with the disease. But she's getting help from the global NGO Humana People to People program, a project that is working with communities here to fight HIV/AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis. Zulu got pregnant after testing positive for HIV, but her son is HIV negative. She credits medical interventions that help mothers access life-saving antiretroviral drugs or ARVs to prevent mother-to-child HIV transmission.
I have been living like this for 3 years, almost 4 years. So we go together with my husband to collect our medication. We take PrEP and ARVs together. So I'm very happy we are still together.
Zulu's husband, Joseph Banda, is HIV negative. He takes pre-exposure prophylaxis, PrEP, a medication that reduces infection from HIV, the virus causing AIDS. Zulu and Banda are what is known as a discordant couple, where one partner is HIV negative while the other is HIV positive.
My wife takes antiretrovirals drugs to protect her from transmitting the HIV virus. She has to continue taking this medicine.
Margaret Zulu is a field officer at Development Aid from People to People in Zambia, or DAP, helping clients around the community to ensure that they are consistent in taking their medicines. She says field officers and community health workers visit people living with HIV who fell out of treatment to re-engage them and help them form small HIV treatment adherence support groups known as trios.
This program of TCE epidemic control has helped people to have knowledge about HIV, about prevention measures, what to do if we have tested negative, what step they can do, or how they can live positive life when we find the discordant couple.
Mwamba Chunda works as an HIV focal point person with the Ministry of Health at Petauke District Hospital, helping HIV positive people adhere to their treatments.
We used to lose a lot of clients on treatment. You know, when you share someone on treatment, within a short period of time, they are lost. But we're engaging the community.
The project involves traditional leaders like village headman Yoram Mwanza to raise awareness in communities about HIV/AIDS prevention and treatment programs run by DAP.
We started going door to door telling those who didn't attend the meetings that DAP has got this very good program and we should benefit from it because what we are learning is prolonging our lives, a good life.
DAP Zambia is implementing the Total Control of the Epidemic Project and Education and Prevention Program. Elisa Sorensen is its managing director.
We are still saying putting people first. And the slogan in the TCE program is that only the people themselves can eliminate themselves from the TB and HIV epidemics.
The UN's bottom-up approach, combined with high-quality health services, aims to make Zambia reach the ambitious goal set by the UN of no new HIV infections, zero AIDS-related deaths, and zero stigma and discrimination by 2030. Kathy Short, VOA News, Petauke, Zambia.
U.S. President Joe Biden met his Angolan counterpart João Lourenço at the presidential palace in Luanda. Biden and Lourenço discussed trade and investment between the two countries and highlighted the rehabilitation of a railway line that transports minerals from inland countries in Africa to the Angolan port of Lobito on the Atlantic Ocean.
I'm very proud to be the first American president to visit Angola. And I'm deeply proud of everything we have done together to transform our partnership thus far. There's so much ahead of us, so much we can do. I want to thank you very much for your personal welcome. I want to thank all of your colleagues for treating us so well since we've been here.
That was U.S. President Joe Biden speaking during a meeting with his Angolan counterpart, João Lourenço, in Luanda, Angola. With that, let's take a short break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories. that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Now back to our topic, Zimbabwean youths are expressing different views on the proposed US dollar $7.7 billion 2025 national budget presented to Parliament by Finance Minister Mthuli Ncube. He proposed to allocate $28.3 million to the Ministry of Youth Empowerment, Development and Vocational Training. The money is meant to fund the refurbishment of vocational training centers for the youth, establishment of youth business units, the National Youth Service, fight against drug and substance abuse, among other empowerment projects. Some youths are saying there is nothing new as the government always funds youth projects that are awarded in a partisan manner, while others say these projects have empowered young people in the country. Now, to discuss this issue, we are joined by ZANU-PF youth member and political activist, Mr. Snowball Tongogara. Welcome to the show, Mr. Tongogara.
Thank you very much. How are you?
Thank you for coming on the show. We also expect to have Citizens Coalition for Change Youth and Bulawayo Ward 22, Councillor Mary Bruce Moyo. I understand he's now on the line. Siyabonga, Councillor Moyo.
Greetings, everyone. Greetings to you.
Thank you for coming on the show. Mr. Tongogara, what are your views on the proposed 2025 national budget, specifically looking at the allocation that was allocated to youth and also the projects that Professor Mthuli Ncube mentioned on his budget?
Yes, thank you very much. We fully support the budget. We are happy that if you look at the allocation of funds to the Ministry of Youth, it says that the government is continuing to support the initiatives towards the empowerment of our youth in Zimbabwe, towards the realization of vision 2030, you know, and what is behind. And remember, now we have got vocational training centers across all provinces. We've got the National Service Program. So I think the budget that has been allocated to the Ministry of Youth is going to make sure these projects are going to reap some benefits. But we also appeal to our members of Parliament to pressure the Ministry of Finance to increase the budget to Ministry of Youth, because we see that there's a lot of things that must be done to improve the livelihoods of our young generation Zimbabweans. But we are happy with the budget. We know we are living under economic sanctions, so we are trying by all means to raise funds locally so that we support our homegrown projects. So
Thank you, Mr. Tongogara. Councillor Moyo, what's your take on this budget, especially looking at the allocation that has been given to youths and also the projects that Mthuli Ncube highlighted on his budget presentation last Thursday?
Thank you very much, and I think I'm open enough. Thank you so much for the question. Greetings to everyone who is listening right now. I think this is not new in the history of Zimbabwe. This is not new to what Mthuli Ncube has done in our country in terms of allocating money for young people
But I mean, my point of entry is we need to make it very clear that every budget is made so that we can avail the resources to answer to critical key questions, to answer to critical problems that some people are facing. What are the problems that some people are facing in sports? There are no facilities of sporting in Zimbabwe. Our national stadium in Zimbabwe is not functioning. Even our national team, they are using the home ground outside Zimbabwe. But it's a reflection of young people who are in sports being affected by the situation there. If you go to us, it's the same story. If you go to those who are even under education, it's the same story. The challenges that young people are facing are unemployment. There's no industry that is ready to employ young people. Those industries have been changed to it changes the basis of the amount of the budget that has been allocated by the team, it was supposed then to reflect to those critical challenges. Some people remember every year, President Mnangagwa attend graduation ceremonies. More than 1,000 of students graduate every year, and there's no industry which is uptaking that skill. And we're looking towards a budget that will reflect to that and to say, okay, fine, how best can empower young people at a local level? Vocational training centers is a good idea, but we need to be practical here. The money that we dispense, vis-à-vis the potential training centers that can accompany young people in Zimbabwe, they are not enough. Remember, we are the majority in this country. So it is not new in this country, and we are used to it, whereby money is being dispensed. And we know how they then allocate that money. It will go to things like the national service, the border case agenda. Well, the country of youth are being changed, but then forgetting the oppressed young people in Makokova, the oppressed young people in Kuzman, who are then engaging in drug and substance abuse. So, it is space here. We are very much disappointed with the Minister of Finance, because she is showing signs and symbols of not considering young people as the majority in terms of the population in Zimbabwe. As if you don't even need to talk about the vision 2030 to turn Zimbabwe into a middle-class economy, how can you turn the vision 2030 when the young people, the future is not taken care of? So the budget is not enough. The budget is not reflecting to the concrete challenges that young people are facing. The budget is not answering to the calls that we want the opening of businesses. We want better sports facilities. We want young people to be given business loans. We want young people to be afforded loans so that they can do their project. We want vocational training centers. We want youth centers so that we also eradicate students. Young people from the city in abusing drugs and other things that are then deteriorating their health. So we are not much happy with the budget, and we are very much aware because we see this thing almost on a yearly basis. And also my brother, the other chapter that we need to speak about. Yes, this amount, it amounts to millions. But you know the current economy of Zimbabwe, the inflation rate, and the way we are budgeting our money, knowing that we have a tendency of inflating rates every time when political elite wants to do so. So this budget, this amount, it doesn't amount to the realities and the challenges which some people are facing. Well, every budget must be linked always to what is needed at that particular time. So in brief, we are not happy, and we hope and trust that young people organize from the ground and be able to question and be able to air their views and be able to then to place that demand very well and very correctly to the minister of Finance and Tourism, so that he may review and reflect to the real issues which we are facing.
Siyabonga Baba Moyo. Yes, va Chongogara Manswa, vamoyo vachitaura nyaya yavabata nyaya yekuti vechidiki ndivo vakawanda munyika, uyezve matambudziko avanosangana nawo anosanganisira nyaya yemabasa, uyezve nekusashanda zvakanaka kweindustry nekushaya mikana yekuti vawanewo zvikwereti zvekusimudzira nekutanga mabhizimusi avo. Vatongogara, muri kuona kunge mari iyi yakaiswa padivi ichakwana here kugadzirisa matambudziko evechidiki aya avakatarisana nawo ezve mabasa nezvimwewo zvakadaro?
Ah, thank you for that. I want to say, a lot of people are adults. We are facing a lot of challenges in our country. And that's why I think, in my first statement, that we are appealing to our MPs to make petition to the ministry for Chinese to increase budget. Because we know that there's a lot of things that must be done to abuse our young people. Our president, Dr. Edwin Nangaba, is really concerned about the welfare of our young people. That's why he's trying to support his different initiatives for young people. So, yes, my reaction for the budget is not adequate to solve all the challenges we are facing. And we acknowledge that when we know by all means to raise part locals, or it's not going to be adequate enough to solve all problems. But it's going to improve maybe more than half of the problems we are facing. And then in terms of job creation, it's not the responsibility of government only to create jobs. I think we know that the private sector plays a crucial role when it comes to job creation. Government just creates conducive environment. The business and the private sector then expand and then flourish and employ many people if possible. It's not the duty of government to employ many people.
Tinotenda vatongogara. Councillor Moyosi phenduka kuwe laphana. Sizwile sibili ukuthi hayi imali leyi ayikwani ukuthi iphathise abatsha. Kodwa kuleyo encane ekhona sikhangela kuminyaka edluleyo, ikhona na imigoqo ebisenza ukuthi abantu bengenelisa ukuthi bathole limali ikakhulu abatsha, kumbe benelisa ukuthi labo baphatheke kunhlelo ezibathuthukisayo okuzinhlelo ezokuqalisa kwamabhizimusi, kumbe ukungena-ke izikolo kuma-vocational training school. Kukhona nje yini okuvimba abatsha ukuthi baphathiseke laloba limali encane?
We are young people, and our children are old, especially when we discuss about issues that matter. We need to tell each other the truth so that we help each other to find the lasting solution. Because remember, this thing that is happening is not affecting young people in the opposing party or young people in the Vatican, but it's affecting a generation. So it's a platform for us to make sure that we are honest to each other, we speak each other, we tell each other the truth, so as to have the ability to find lasting solutions to our problems. Number one, we are very much aware that, my brother, these loans that are available to young people, they are available to young people under a certain ban of a political party. And that one is very clear, and we are aware of it, and it's a public secret. It has been happening before, it's still happening now. Number two, we are very much aware that in terms of vocational training center, nothing has been done, especially here in Bulawayo, nothing has been done across the country. Tell me one new vocational training center that we have seen here in Zimbabwe. There's nothing. You see, number three, in terms of supporting facilities, you can attend. You see, you go to business sports, a stadium which supports to symbolize and bring an image of Zimbabwe, the country, but the sports, nothing is being done there. So you go to each other, go to the gate, go to Mbare, and see whether young people are being given loans to start businesses. Come to Nkulumane and see whether young people are given loans to start businesses. So you can go every corner of the country. We don't want to speak theory. We don't want to speak issues which are we just want to speak real issues. We just want to speak the truth. The truth is, whatever amount that is being allocated to young people on paper, it is not practically executed ground. And we know that is a deliberate approach. And we know, actually, even if you go to mine, go to Ministry of Mine now, tell me the statistics. How many young people are accessing mine? How many people are on land? You see, and if you want to go check, where are those young people coming from? For what part
You see, because these, let's tell each other the truth. These are the people who access such facilities. You see, the people that can say, go around the country and say, if you tell me that I'm not cheap, or you're not that, that you are giving a name. But it's not, you know, it's not the country that we want. It's not the environment that we are all championing for. That's the reason why. You see, the people must be sober enough and consider that the young people are the majority of this country. Consider and make sure that the party slips practically under the conditions that are confronting young people in the ghetto, young people in the rural area. Remember, when you speak about young people in Uganda, as I conclude, it's not about young people in town. You see, there are young people in Kari, there are young people in Zerabad. What's happening there? Are they being affected? Do they have a piece of this mess of cake in advances in 2018? Are these projects beneficial to them? So there are so many issues. That's why we say it in brief. This project is not for us. Therefore, we cannot be protecting on things that don't belong for us because it has never been meant for us. If it was meant for us, we are going to be, the people was going to take exactly things that we told them to include in the budget. We are going to make sure that we put the right figure that was going to reflect to the challenges that we are facing in this budget. So in brief, that's all I've got to say.
Thank you so much, Councillor Moyo, for that. Mr. Tongokara, you heard Councillor Moyo speaking, respond to what he's saying. He's saying most of these funds are going to one party. And also, as you respond to that briefly, what are some of the weaknesses in government that you see, Mr. Tongokara, that need to be fixed to ensure young people are empowered in all aspects of their lives in Zimbabwe?
There are no support systems in provinces. So many people, they are coming from Anikalensi, Matabrensi, nationalism, they are coming to our area because there are no economic forms in their respective provinces. So I think this is something of the government. They are very implementing that vision of stability in the country. It's very brilliant vision. So we take a the government is going to implement this vision agency to increase the lives of our people.
Thank you so much, Mr. Tongokara. Unfortunately, isikhathi yiso balekile senelisa ukuthi siphenduke kuwe Councillor Moyo, kodwa siyabonga kakhulu ukuthi lingenele kuhlelo lwanamhlanje. Silethemba lokuthi sizaqhubekela phambili sikhangela njalo ezinye indaba ezihlangana ke labatsha, ikakhulu nxa sikhangela izinto ezifana lokuthi kutholakale imisebenzi lezinye indubo eliziqhambe kulolu hlelo lwanamhlanje. Unfortunately, nguva yedu ndo ya timanyei vatongo karati noku tendai kutimapinda wa mchirongwa chedu chanasi. Sivonga njalo aba laleleli uguti lenelisa uguti lingene uguthelo letu lana mchanje. Lapo agatesi kangelage umbigo gumbe uluthu logu sechensoge maliga hulumende olwe tulege ngu spatamanda. Umphathintambo ogatsha lwezimali umnumzana Mthuli Ncube ngeviki edluleyo sikhangela ukuthi abatsha bona balubona njani lolu udaba. Okwanamhlanje sigqibeke namhlanje uhlelo lwethu. Signing off in Washington, I am Thabo Kancube.